You notice inside of your program, there's an outline. You're saying, that's unusual. Well, there's a large portion of Scripture we'll be walking through this morning. 30 verses from the second chapter of Daniel. Please, if you have your Bibles this morning, open it up to Daniel chapter 2. Our nation has recently experienced two events that, while they were happening real time, caused a lot of people stress, anxiety, agitation, even sleeplessness. The first week of November was the Cleveland Indians Chicago Cubs World Series. And then last week, the presidential elections. I had more interest in the elections than I did in the ball games because my teams weren't playing. But even watching those games, I was stressed out. Imagine if you had a video ahead of time of the final hours of both events. You knew the outcome in advance. You might like both outcomes. You might like one outcome. You might be brokenhearted over both outcomes. But you would at least be taking in the events leading up to the final conclusion with a whole lot less stress, anxiety, and agitation, because you knew the final outcome. We've all survived our teams losing and our candidates losing, and life goes on. The anxiety, the agitation, the stress levels, they dissipate over time. But for the believer, for the disciple of Christ, the one who is redeemed by God, who follows after Jesus, who knows His voice, the one that we sang about so strong this morning, we live by faith and not by sight. We are the ones who listen and who yield to Him, whether we like where He is leading or not, whether we agree at that moment or not, or whether we understand fully what He is up to or not. We follow Him. This second chapter of Daniel is for us. It's a reminder to us that God is sovereign over all of what really matters, even presidential elections. Daniel's response to troublesome news will be of great help to us, for all of us have encountered and will continue to encounter much more troublesome news than our team losing or our candidate not prevailing. Father, as we go to Your Word, and as we live in these times, and as we as individuals and as families encounter trouble every day, and yes, that which is far graver and worrisome than what we have experienced, we're reminded by our Savior who spoke on this earth, and He said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Speak to us this morning. Prepare our hearts, even in this moment. Anticipate that a word that we need for the life journey that we are on will come forth from Your Word, that is profitable to teach us what is right, to rebuke us when we are wrong, and to correct us on how to get right, and to train us up as men and women, boys and girls, living and serving You in a righteousness compelled by the love of Christ and the holiness of Your Holy Spirit. In Your name we pray. Amen. Well, chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. A quick summary. We were introduced to Nebuchadnezzar last week. We were introduced to the one who was named for this book, Daniel, and a few of his friends, as they were taken from Jerusalem, from Judah, God's people, God's nation, and God allowed it. God orchestrated it because His people had turned their hearts and their face from Him. The great amount, there was a remnant that was left, and Daniel was one of them. And God's discipline was allowed this enemy to come in and to take his people. But God said for a season and for a purpose. And because Daniel had resolved in his heart, committed in his heart, he would not defile himself in the midst of that culture. God gave him favor. And made him 10 times wiser, smarter, insightful than the rest of the wise men, than the king's cabinet. And now, Daniel and his friends are in their second year of the king's special school of counselors, learning all that they needed to learn about the Babylonian way. And it was in that season, at that time, that Nebuchadnezzar was restless, pierced through, that word means, troubled, agitated, and his sleep left him. Verse 2, then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, also known as astrologers, be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So he gathered his cabinet, his counselors, his wise men. You know, seeking counsel from any of these, whether they be sorcerers, necromancers, diviners, astrologers, is strictly condemned in the Bible. For sure, there are many spirits active in the world today. Demons who are agents of the devil, angels who are agents of Almighty God, who, by the way, never speak to us or respond to our beckoning and instruction, but only to the instruction of the Lord as he sends them out to do his bidding, to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Hebrews 1:14. We have a spirit that we have full access to, and it is the Holy Spirit of God who has sealed the believer, has marked the believer, is the comforter, teacher, counselor of every Christian. So we see in the next verse. So they came and they stood before the king, his council. And the king said to them, I had a dream and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants a dream and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word for me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb and your houses shall be laid in ruins. Wow, a little irrational, don't you think? Ever have a boss like that? All the pastors' heads are just bowed and buried, not wanting to respond. I'm not your boss. Jesus is your boss. The congregation is your boss. I'm not irrational. Deacons, go get those guys and take them outside and behead them. But there are bosses like that. So, no, you tell me the dream. And then tell me the interpretation. Verse 6. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell his servants a dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time changes. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. You see, he's dealt with this group before. And he knows he has said something, then they've given him an interpretation, and most likely to please him, that would sound favorable to him. And he's saying, not now, fellas. Because whatever this dream was that had him so agitated and sleepless, he knew it was important. He knew it was different than other dreams that he had had. And he needed to know. He needed to understand. Verse 10. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Uh-oh, sounds like a challenge to me. Maybe there is a God who dwells with flesh. Verse 12. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Now remember, Daniel and his friends, they weren't in the king's court yet. They were in school. They were continuing to learn. And yet, even at this moment, there's folks that you know and I know who make ludicrous pronouncements and make crazy and wild threats. Most times they don't follow through, but not this king. He was following through with his irrational thoughts. And so we see in verse 14, then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. Notice there was Ashpenaz in chapter 1, if you recall. He oversaw the king's court. And Daniel replied to him in a gracious, prudent, and careful way. And now Arioch, who was a king executioner of the king's court, he replied to him in such a way. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus to him, I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king of the interpretation. Well, isn't that sweet? Arioch saying, hey, I found him. You know, takes credit, right? The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. Can I share with you 6 insights on how to respond in faith to troublesome news? You can fill in the outline that you have in front of you. If you've already taken a peek to the back, you notice they're filled in for you. Whoops. There you go. So you can relax, take it all in, fill them in. That helps you stay awake. Number one, the first insight. How can we respond? How should we respond when troublesome news hits us? We need to reach out carefully and with tact to gain clarity. We don't always really know what's going on. Then Daniel replied in verse 14 with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. Those words, prudence and discretion, means with appropriateness, with respectfulness, And he was very careful and tactful. So if someone comes at you, respond with prudence, discretion, carefulness, respectfulness, and tact. And he declared, he requested of Arioch, why is the decree of the king so urgent? And Arioch made known to Daniel what was going on. Daniel knew. Right away, what did he say? Let me in to see the king, to seek the king. And he requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. It's amazing. Did he have any answer yet? No. But he knew the sovereign God, the wisdom, the God he knew was all wise, all powerful. And that was good enough for him. I know God. And I know with what's already happened in my life and why I'm even here and why God showed me favor in chapter 1, he has a plan and he has a purpose. And surely not to wipe me out right now because of this. And he knew his history of the patriarchs of his forefathers. God spoke to them, gave them visions and dreams and interpretation of dreams. And he knows that God knows all mysteries. And so with confidence in his heart, he said, I will tell you, King, your dream and its interpretation. Secondly, he reached in to gather his praying companions. So Daniel went to his house. And he made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He trusted his like-minded, believing friends. And he explained, here's the crisis. He didn't fret. He didn't scream and yell and cry and wail. He said, guys, here's what's going on. And he gathered those who were like-minded, who had faith also in the Lord in the midst of the crisis. And then number three, what did he say? He said, let's reach up and grasp God's counsel and his comfort, for he is the answer. He has the answer. And he told them, seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. It's time to pray, boys. And who were these guys? They were literally, we might call them boys, 14, 15 years old. These were mighty men, though they were that age. Don't ever, no matter how old you are, if you are in Christ, God says, I've got you. I can reveal to you all mysteries. I can be mighty in you and give you strength if you will humble yourself and you will purpose in your heart to seek me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. I will lead you, young man, young lady. He'll lead us old ones too. And he says, it's time to pray. It's time to ask him. Stop asking ourselves. Stop trying to figure it out ourselves. Let's go to the one. Because we need mercy. We've been told we're dead men. That's the command that's gone on. They're looking for us. We need mercy. Who grants mercy? Who gives mercy any greater than God? For we all deserve not to know him, to hear his voice, to even be in his presence, to think we could come to him with confidence to a throne of grace and help and mercy in time of need. How dare we? And yet he's made it happen because of his love compelled to come as a man, Jesus Christ, the Lord, and die on a cross to pay my sin because I've offended God. I have placed myself above God and become the God of life in my life. And he says, I see you, your pettiness, and I have compassion on you and love for you. And I have suffered long over you, looking for that day of your repentance, of your understanding, the quickening of your heart, when you would hear my call and turn and be saved, be born again, be given a new life with the new spirit. Oh, what a merciful God. Daniel understood this merciful God. And then he would say, verse 19, and right there, the mystery was then revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Visions often came to God's prophets during their sleep, even while they were awake in prayer. I'm reminded Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 1 through 3. Listen. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says, He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is His name, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. That literally means keep calling to me. Oh, that would be my heart all the time, our heart all the time. When the troublesome news comes, when the heavy news comes, the grave news comes, we would go to Him first. We would keep going to Him. We would gather our trusted, believing friends and seek Him for His wisdom, for His understanding, for His mercy, for His help. He says, if you call on me, I will show you great and mighty things, unsearchable things that you wouldn't have a clue to know and understand except that you ask me. You trust me. I am sovereign. I really am who I am, God. Daniel knew, this young lad, he knew and understood. Pastor Kevin shared with us last week a wonderful verse. One of those life-shifting verses. God showed me through a study called Master Life back in 1996. When I read this verse, just like Daniel, I said, Lord, I want to be that guy from 2 Chronicles 16:9. Lord, I believe You're always active. You see everything. But it said there, as the prophet spoke to Asa, who started off well as a king, but then he depended on his own laurels, his own experiences, his own ingenuity, and he forsook his God. And the prophet said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. In this, Asa, you have performed foolishly. And God has seen. Do you know His eyes still run to and fro? He sees us. He sees us when no one else sees us. He hears when no one else listens or someone is listening. Says, will you bow your heart? Will you be a quick confessor? Will you never give up striving and looking and leaning into me? I'm looking for you. None of you are perfect. Daniel wasn't perfect. I know that. But there is something about a heart that's loyal to Him, that puts Him first, that removes the idols of personal preference, what we want, our agendas, how we want to see it happen, the outcome we want. He says, take it out. I am sovereign God. I have a plan and a purpose, and it's up here. And yours is so meek and minor, and it can be so self-focused. Mine is not. It's worldwide, and it's kingdom high. And it's for the redemption of the world, beginning with your own. Do you not get it? Don't forget it. I have a plan and I have a purpose. And he reached out and God gave him an answer. Number four, what was his first response? Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He broke out in praise and reverence and thanksgiving. It's what we did this morning in these songs. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. Notice, blessed be the name of God. One's name immediately brings to our minds an opinion or an experiential knowledge of that person's character, does it not? Someone will mention to you a name and a thought will immediately go to your mind. Upstanding citizen. faithful woman. Knucklehead. There's something about when you mention someone's name, there's an opinion formed because of that person's character. And Daniel said, God's character is glorious, is wonderful, and He's made Himself known to us and is revealed to us. He's God, Almighty, all-knowing. He has reached out and He has chosen us. He understood that, and He's chosen us even deeper and more intimate than He did Daniel and the Israelites. What an age, a new covenant age for you and I to live in. 21. Notice in His blessing to God, He changes times and season. He removes kings and sets up kings. Can I take the liberty to change kings to presidents? God's at work, my friends. And we could say, well, why would He let that one be in office? God's ways are unsearchable, far beyond finding out. But the people of faith will trust Him and say, God has a plan. I can be at peace. Not because I love that candidate, I believe in their ideology. No, because I believe in God and believe in the theology that He is mighty and He is in control. He is sovereign. I am not, and that president is not. He, yes, has an office and, yes, has authority within that office to lead and influence a nation in a certain way. But God is behind the scenes, my friends. He is. And is our nation one that God is disciplining? Because we, like Israel, have moved away from Him, forsaken Him and His ways and His character. Is that what we've seen going on since the 60s and 70s and 80s in my lifetime, as I've watched and been engaged in that process and just struggling? But as I've walked with God and studied His Word, I just have more peace. Why? Because He is God and I am not. I am but dust. And so are you. And His Word will never fail. And it will never turn away. And He will never fail. And He will never turn away. And He says, and until I come, I have a plan and I have a purpose. Trust Me. Lean into Me. Pray to Me. Call to Me. And I might show you My plan. I might give you a glimpse, My children. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And that's a reference to those who have spiritual depth. Those who are His followers. He reveals deep and hidden things. It is He, God, who gives discernment. He gives insight into mysteries and challenging things. While this world is stressed out, agitated, and anxious about financial markets, media outlets, elections, and the like, God gives peace to His children. And He reminds us that He has a far deeper plan that is hidden from those who mock Him and His ways. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 is a reminder to us that the things of God, in particular the cross of Jesus Christ and why He went and what He accomplished on there, is foolishness to the world. But it is salvation and wisdom and mercy and help to the one who is called, to the one who are His children. And there are mysteries that those on this earth with the greatest intellect, who have the greatest education, come from the finest families. And He says right there, the things of Me and mine are foolishness to them. But to those, it doesn't matter what your intellect is, what your education is, what your social economic background is. If My Spirit is in you, I will give you understanding and I will lead you by My Spirit. And you will know the demonstration and the power of Christ and of the Spirit of God in your midst. When you hear that word taught, when you read that word, and My Spirit in your heart will say, this is truth. This is what's going on. And you will be humbled like Daniel, going, whoa, You're an incredible God. And what you're doing and how you maneuver, I wouldn't have done it that way. Oh, I know, John. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and might. You have given me strength. You have given me replenishment. Daniel has said there in the midst of prayer, there in the midst of being taken from my home, from my parents and my rabbis and the priests and all that I knew and the favor and comfort I had. You're the one who strengthens me. You're the one who replenishes me. And you have made and you have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter. You are the answer, O God. And you give the answers when you desire in your timing. Number 5. Notice this. You know, in every way, as I look at Daniel, though he's a young lad, I go, dude, you far outweigh me in character and how you act. Notice in verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king and I will show the king the interpretation. Daniel responded with compassion to his adversaries. How interesting. That was his first thought. These were pagan witches, warlocks, magicians. He knew the scripture. And pretty soon, these would be the very ones, the ones whom he rescued, who would conspire to have him thrown into a lion's den. But I wonder if his thought process was, if all my associates were right now killed and destroyed, who would I witness to? Who would I share the glory of God, the one true God, Yahweh, and let them know there is one true God? Oh, I want more time with them that I might show them Jesus, the one who is foretold, the one who would come, the one whom I couldn't even imagine, but I know a Messiah is coming. But that which I know of my God, the one who reveals mysteries, I wonder if that was on his mind. Who would I witness to? Oh, that we would have such a response to our adversaries. When they revile, when they accuse, when they say all kinds of mean things. Jesus, when they did that to him, committed them to the Father. And even his dying breath would be, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He knew they needed to hear the gospel, to be quickened, to understand. And that's why Peter would write later, the one who wanted them out of the way would later say, oh, do you not know? With the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. And he is not slow concerning his promise, but he is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. All come to an understanding of the divine Christ, of the holy Christ, of the sin bearer Christ, of the resurrected and risen Christ. And that's why Jesus has not returned. And that's why the gospel continues to go out. And that's why it was through the writings of Daniel and his influence, I believe, that on that night Jesus was born and angels were singing, holy, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, that three wise men came from the east, came from the orient, and many would say, right here in this area, Chaldeans, wise men, astrologers, who were told that would be a season and a time when the Messiah would come. And because they heard about this God and they heard about this coming Messiah, they came to worship him, this babe, this king of the Jews. And so his witness was passed on from generation to generation to generation. Oh, the compassion you and I must have for our adversaries. Our battle is not flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers in the realms that you and I cannot see. and the people who come against you because you're a believer, and I hope a faithful, committed believer, and if they're mad at you and struggle with you, it's because you are abiding in Christ and walking with Christ. Oh, let us be like our Savior and be patient and be loving and be praying and be compassionate. Because today might be their day. Tomorrow might be their day. When did you come to Christ? The first time you heard the gospel? Wonderful. The power and quickening of God. But for me, from the first time I heard the gospel to when I surrendered to Christ, 9 years. And those people who were in my life, Christians who were in my life, who I mocked and debated, they were kind and compassionate. I can't even remember a one who came at me with aggression and attack. And that helped. That aroma that they left helped. When Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, met me and showed me my sinfulness. And I could blame no one. And it was not that I was practicing the wrong religion or that somebody had hurt me and wounded me. It was because I myself was a personal sinner against a holy and perfect God. I must take responsibility as Jesus took responsibility for my sin and its payment on the cross. Compassion for our adversaries. And finally, he remembered. Daniel lived his life recognizing God gives grace to the humble. Notice, so Daniel answered the king in verse 27 and said, "No wise man, no enchanters, no magicians, no astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who has revealed mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days." His confidence was already in what God had revealed. He didn't even wait for the king. He didn't even give the dream yet or the interpretation. But he had a confidence. He knew it was true what God had told him, because everything God says is true and is faithful and will come to pass. There is a God in heaven, not made up by men's fancies or man's philosophies or men's religions. But he, that God, put something in your head, O king. And your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in your bed are these. To you, O king, verse 29, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. We'll be studying that next week. Don't you dare look forward and read forward in the book of Daniel that this week. I get it. Reverse psychology. Yes. So I hope you do read it. He told me, no, I will read God's word. Verse 30. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. What an opportunity for him to cash in, to elevate himself, to promote himself. But he wouldn't take credit for this amazing insight and knowledge. It was actually supernatural insight and knowledge, and he knew it, and he humbly gave all credit to God. My friend, we are in the midst, and you, in your personal life, may be in the midst of trouble, much heavier than what we've experienced as a nation and as a people because of ball games and presidential elections. God is faithful to you. He loves you. His compassion on you. And he will see you through. And he says, seek me. Find rest in me. In the midst of your trouble. Oh, I love you. I see. I am not far. You can even have joy in this. For one simple reason. You know that I am near. So be anxious for nothing. There is so much that you cannot control. But in everything, with prayer, supplication, which means intentional intercession, make your requests known to God, like Daniel did. Lay them out to me. Commit them to me. I'm so begging, wanting you to do that so I can hear. There's something powerful about hearing those things and you laying them on to me. And here's what I will do for you as you do that. I will respond. I will put a guard over your heart and over your mind. The very presence and power of Christ Jesus. I will do that. And I ask you to do this then. Now, when thoughts come to your mind and they are the other things that you've already committed to me, don't dwell on those things. But now meditate on those things that are pure, that are right, that are praiseworthy, that are virtuous, that speak of me and my character and my name and my goodness and what I have done for you and who I am. Meditate on these things and the God of peace will be with you in your trouble. And in your friend's trouble. And in your adversary's trouble. Be that faithful person to cry out to Him. Let's pray. Thank you for your word that is alive. You speak through young people and their experience simply because they know you, experienced you. We, 2,500 years later, feel as this word and its truth and its lessons are for us and where we're living today. Thank you, God, that you're alive and active and your word is sharper than a two-edged sword and it cuts deep to our heart. Goes through the layers like a beautiful, wonderful scalpel, a two-edged sword, your word calls it, separating ligaments and sinews and expose the true intent of the heart. What are we really thinking? What do we really believe? And this truth today has made us accountable to you, the one whom is our judge and who is our Savior. And who is our portion, and who is mighty, and who is sovereign, and you beckon us to call out to you, to seek you with all our heart. And there you will be found. Oh, may we do that as a people. May we do that alone, and may we do that with companions, drawing them in, and listen to you, and follow you, no matter what you say, because we trust you. And be reminded that even when we are faithless, you are faithful. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.